Amen. Good morning to each of you. Thanks for those thoughts there, Dad. If you would have kept sharing, you would have shared my opening for me. So amazing how God leads us. I didn't know what Dad was going to share. So this morning, my thoughts, the title for I would give my thoughts is Fighting for Our Faith. So for an opening text, I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, and we'll read 6 through 8. So to give a little context of, so Paul wrote this to Timothy, second letter to Timothy. He's in prison for the second time, and he's writing to Timothy to encourage him. And we read here in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is a crown. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing." So I come across these verses about 3 weeks ago, and it's something that's been on my mind since then, and it's been a tremendous challenge and a blessing as well as we go about our day-to-day life. The day-to-day choices that we make, are we making choices that encourage us or that are for our good? So I would like to look at two examples. They're in the Old Testament. One fought a good fight and one didn't. You don't have to turn through all these. I'm going to be reading a couple verses at a time, but can just So the two examples I have are David and Saul. I think David could say at the end of his life that he fought a good fight. Saul, on the other hand, I don't think could say that he fought a good fight. In the context of fight here, is not a physical fight, but a spiritual warfare. So I'm going to be reading through 1 Samuel a little bit. So for the first, I'd like to read 1 Samuel 9, and we'll read 1 through 3. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel, the son of Zor, the son of Bethoroth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. For his shoulder and upward he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, was lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, "Take now one of thy servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses." So this is where Samuel anoints Saul for king. What we see here, he was a goodly person. First Samuel 11:6. This is after he's anointed king. says, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard these tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. So we see here, God was with Saul. In the beginning of his life, Saul, God's Spirit was with Saul. For our other example, I'd like to read 1 Samuel 16, and we'll read 11 through 13. This is where Samuel is anointing David king. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit till he cometh hither. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. We can see in the comparison, they started out pretty much the same. God's Spirit was with them both. They were both godly people in the beginning of their life. We'll read 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 14. So this is when Saul's king. My Bible gives it the heading, Saul's First Sin at Gilgal. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offering a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom up in Israel forever. But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man of his own heart. The Lord had commanded him to be captain. So we see here Saul's lackness, his lacks in his Christian walk, he wasn't committed in the way that he should have been. 1 Samuel 15, 8 through 11. And he took, so this is, they just fought a battle on his second sin at Gilgal. And he took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, of the oxen, of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile he refused that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So we see here, Saul wasn't committed to his Christian walk. He wasn't fighting the way he should have been. And we see later in life what the results of that are. He didn't see the seriousness of sin, and he turned his heart from the Lord. 1 Samuel 18:12. And Saul, so this year's after David was anointed king, Saul was after him. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. God was with Saul and not with David. So we see here, they both started out about the same place. They were both godly. They were both spiritual. God's spirit was with them both. And David continued to grow in God's spirit, and Saul didn't. He took the route of sin. He didn't see the seriousness of it, and God rejected him. 1 Samuel 31, we see Saul's death. I don't have the exact verse here, but we never read that Saul repented of his sin and that he ever made it his heart right with God. He died a death of the wicked. If we read 1 Kings 2:10, we read of David's death. David, on the other hand, he was still following the Lord. So I'd like to read, if we read 1 Kings 11:4, it tells us a little bit about David. So I'm not going to go through all of David's life. So this is when Solomon was king. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart from the other heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So we see here, David had a perfect heart in following the Lord and serving the Lord. And then I'd like to also read Acts 13:22. And when he was removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So David was a man after God's own heart. We see the difference in the heart of two kings. They started out the same, but their ending was very different. So what can we gain from this comparison? Saul didn't become a wicked person overnight. I believe he forgot he was fighting a spiritual battle. When John was up here sharing about the armor of salvation, the full armor of God, as I was preparing this, I can see he probably took off his helmet of salvation and laid down his shield of faith. And the devil was able to get to him. Saul let the greed take over, and the greed of fame and wealth. So if we look at Saul's life a little bit, do we think Saul can say, I fought a good fight? We know he can't. Saul didn't see the need to keep himself from sin, and God rejected him. David, on the other hand, he knew he was fighting a spiritual battle. He had his armor on, And he was prepared to fight. Does this mean David didn't sin? We know he sinned, but he repented, and at the end of his life, he said that it was said of him that he had a perfect heart, and God said he was a man after my own heart. So do we think David could say, at the end of his life, I fought a good fight? I believe he could. So how is it with us? Do we know we're in a battle? Do we conduct ourselves as soldiers? Do we know who we're fighting and what we're fighting for? It's really challenged me as we go about our day-to-day life. The situations that come up, how are we handling them? We're fighting against Satan and his host. Satan comes so stealthily. He can come when we're least prepared. And so that's why we always need to be alert. Do we view this as a life and death situation? Are we giving Satan opportunity to strike us down? Are we prepared to fight for our faith? So here, let's remember we are in a battle. Let's remember who we're fighting against and what we're fighting for. If we get to the end of our life and can't say with Paul, I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith, then we aren't living our lives in the way God has intended. Another thought I had, are we teaching others to fight? Those around us, are we being an encouragement? Are we being a good example? So, this past week we were at a wedding, and it really, I got to thinking as I was watching the people there, a good majority of the people are people that we would know. And as I was watching them, people that we wouldn't associate ourselves with much anymore. And I got to thinking, how did they get to this point in their life? And it made me realize they got lax in their fighting. And it was a challenge to me. In today's age, we can get lax. Like Dad was sharing in Bolivia, the battle is real. Here it doesn't seem like it is as much, but it is. And I think Satan is using that to get us to fall. And so it's my encouragement as we go about our day-to-day life, that we remember we are in a spiritual battle. And it is a spiritual life and death situation. So that's all I have. I hope it can be an encouragement to you. It was a tremendous challenge to me. And I just pray that you can be edified.